crises, I find someone. Lose myself, I find someone. Lose myself, I don't want it to be this way. But you know just what they say about old habits dying hard. I die to know where to start. I think there's something broken deep inside my core. I think there's something sinister I can't ignore. Well, I think maybe I'm just better off alone. If I don't know how to love someone and stay my own fucking person. Intuition, well, I'm landlocked. If love is like an ocean, then I'm lost at sea. If earth is connection, I'm an island. Whatever you do, don't get marooned on me, 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 on me.
MJ Bones is live in the studio at WNHH-FM, 51 Elm Street. The inaugural live performer on Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51 here, a New Haven's home for community radio. Welcome, MJ Bones. It's been so great to meet you this morning, and thanks for coming on the air to play some live original music.
Thanks for having me. I'm so stoked to be here.
Yeah, great. I'm going to ask you to get a little closer to the mic, but I like that song. I hadn't heard that one. I listened to some of your stuff before you came on today. You're a New Haven-based singer-songwriter.
Yes.
On the ukulele. Brave move. You've been performing around town for a bunch of years now. And tell us, what was that song called?
That was called Marooned.
I thought you using, obviously, the metaphor of being at sea and trying to figure out sort of being alone and not in relationships. Well, tell me about that song.
Navigation, like, it's navigating my own issues with, like, attachment, investigating the way that I move through relationships. Certain patterns of behavior and kind of having this hopeless feeling of I can't get this right. Maybe I'm just better off by myself. You'll get marooned on this island with me and all of my issues, which is like it was working through like some pessimistic and cynical feelings. And that's kind of what I do. I go through this catharsis and work it out in a very outward manner and then make peace with it and move on.
So it's basically an alternative to self-medication.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, when you're writing a song, you're not only going through a process for yourself, which is obviously meaningful, but you're sharing something with the world. Obviously, not the first or the tenth or the millionth person right now to like wrestle with feelings like that. Do you find when you write a song like that, that it helps you connect with other people to come up, people come up and talk to you about how they felt that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that personally, growing up, listening to music, being so into music, I always felt this enormous sense of solidarity when I felt like a songwriter just got it. And I strive to provide that too, because these experiences, they're not that unique. And when I play shows, people always come up to me and they're so just like happy to hear that they're not alone in their struggles. And they really appreciate the vulnerability at the forefront of what I do.
Yeah, I guess everybody feels less alone when we feel like somebody else is feeling what we're feeling. I just remember last time I was at Cafe Night, Libby White Narrow, this night, he's from North Carolina, was up, or Nashville, was playing, and a guy band had a song about how no matter how much you older you grow, everyone in your family still thinks you're the same person you were at 15. Mm. I don't know if you've experienced that. It's like they're not going to believe you that you don't believe that stupid thing you used to say around the house when you were an angsty teenager, you know, nothing could change. And it felt kind of good to hear someone else say that. I felt like that's part of what music's about.
Yeah.
But not the only thing. Why music? Why do you want to write these songs and perform them?
I don't know. It's always just been second nature to me. Like, I've always been so fascinated by music from the time I was a little kid. I used to take my mom's cassettes and I would lay next to the boombox on the floor with my ear right up to the speaker. And I would just listen to all of the cassettes, go through the whole pile front to back.
What age are we talking about?
I'm talking about like 6, 7.
Oh.
Like, I just, it was always kind of my escape. And from a really early age, I started trying to make my own music, singing, writing little tunes, writing poems, trying to turn them into songs. It's just like, it's the most natural thing I do, and I still don't really know the why of it all.
Maybe you don't need to know. It's what you do. But do you remember what was on the cassettes?
Oh, Madonna, Journey, the Eagles.
You know, those have, like, something like the Journey, that is so anthemic. It's like they're really emoting at the, you know, 10-plus scale, right?
Oh, yeah. The Madonna really pulled on my heartstrings, though. Like, I was just enthralled, especially, like, A Prayer. Like, I had no idea what they were talking about, but I felt it, like, in my little heart.
Yeah. Well, MJ Bones, would you like to tell us what song you'd like to play next?
Yeah, this next song is called Manic Pixie Nightmare.
Manic Pixie Nightmare?
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with the Manic Pixie Dream Girl trope at all.
Nope.
But,
what is that?
It's a trope you see in, like, media, mostly films, where you have a two-dimensional, like, female character whose only purpose is moving the male protagonist plot along. Like, she is this, like, this whimsical force that, like, pushes him to have some emotional growth or learn some things about himself or whatever it is, and he'll be fascinated by her. But then ultimately, once he's healed and he has moved on, he has, like, no use for her anymore. And she's never, like, quite real, you know. You never really see her as a full person. And when I wrote this song, I was kind of thinking about that and thinking about my own experiences with people, like, kind of idealizing me and not really seeing who I am as, like, a flawed three-dimensional being. Mm-hmm. And also thinking about how different versions of you are, like, cemented in people's minds, like, no matter what, until the end of time. And that kind of drives me crazy sometimes. You know, you kind of talked about it before, where, like, people don't know that you're not that same 15-year-old anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, just thinking about all the different versions of me and how they're all me, but also none of them are me.
Well, you got me totally primed now. I'm looking forward to hearing Manic Pixie Nightmare.
All right, here it goes.
MJ Bones on WNHH.
If my lungs collapse, it'll be from trying to outrun the past. And if I turn to ash, don't scoop me up. Just leave me right where I fell down. A gust of wind might spread me around, but not as thin as I'm spread right now. When I don't have a body, will I be missed by anybody? Or will they just talk about the mask? It's a fact that there's 100 different yous running around in people's heads. There's 100 different yous running around. What version of me are you seeing right now? It's a fact that there's 100 different yous. Am I the leading lady or the best supporting role? Who will I be when you can't project onto me? Who will you use to make yourself feel whole when I don't have a body? Will I be missed by anybody? Or will they just mourn a time that's past? It's a fact. There's 100 different yous running around in all our fucking heads, yeah. When I don't have a body, will I be missed by anybody? Or will they just wish the dream was back? It's a fact that there's 100 different yous running around. There's 100 different yous running around. What version of me are you seeing right now? What version of me are you seeing right now? What version of me are you seeing right now?
MJ Bones on Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51. With her song Manic Pixie Nightmare. Is that a new song, MJ?
That is not a new song, but I've never fully released it. I have a demo that's released, and the like fully recorded version is coming out later this year.
I was just sitting here thinking how full this sounds, and I realize it's really fun to listen to this through headphones when you're here. You know, there's something fun about seeing live in a place and you're hearing the ambient sound around, and there's something about that, but you sound really good and clear coming here on WNHH-FM, live streamed to newhavenindependent.org. I was thinking about the internet when I was hearing that song because we don't have control of what happens. People spend a lot of time trying to establish their identity on the internet, whether accurate or not. Then other people can do a lot of what they want. It's sort of like what people know about you kind of is a little bit your control more than before and a little bit not.
I don't know.
I think it's never in your control, really, because people's perceptions of you are theirs alone. It's going to be informed by their own experiences. Like, everyone has such a unique lens that they're seeing the world through, and you can drive yourself crazy trying to control that narrative.
Well, one thing you do that's sort of not the only person in the universe, but pretty unusual, is that you are a solo singer-songwriter playing with ukulele. I mean, not the first, you know, Don Ho, you know, The Beautiful World, that's, you know, the great version that was done. But why did you choose that as your instrument?
It's kind of funny. So when I first started this solo project, I was just like really broke and I was at rock bottom. And I was like, I need to get out there. I need to do something. I'm losing my mind. And I did not have enough money to buy a guitar. So I was like, okay, what's the next best thing? Oh, I'll get this little mini guitar. Like, I didn't really know much about the ukulele. And I was like, this will be cool to just fumble around on until I get a guitar. And that will be my real instrument.
How old were you at the time?
I was 22.
And you were in Michigan.
Yes. And what I realized after I got my ukulele is that it's in a league of its own. And I fell in love with it. And I have so much respect for it as its own thing now. It's not just a mini guitar. And I like that I can carry it anywhere. I like the tune it's in. And I like that not everyone is doing it. You know, there's so many people who are just out there with the guitar, and I like to be like, guess what I can do with what I have.
And I notice you don't play it in an open tuning. Or don't a lot of people play ukulele in an open tuning? Or am I wrong about that? Am I thinking more like banjo?
I actually don't know.
That's okay.
To be
it's
honest,
okay.
Like,
no worries about it. But you found that you really could express what you're feeling in the music you want to do. I also noticed that you, I'm guessing in your head, can hear sort of orchestration when you're trying to vary what sound you're getting from. Like in the middle of that song, you got the part where you're pressing the strings down so you're not hearing any notes and doing the kind of rhythmic part as the interlude.
Yeah.
And at the end, when you change keys for an instrumental, you know, you changed keys for the instrumental part of this song and then got back to the, what was it, key of C or A minor you were in. And that, I thought that was pretty interesting. So you need to, there's a lot to explore within a ukulele because some people,
absolutely,
it has a rep sometimes of having a more limited sound, not as full a sound. Do you ever think about that? How you, where you can go with the instrument, how you can expand the sound?
Yeah, it would be so cool to eventually play with a full band. I always envisioned myself playing with a full band, and it took a lot to just like go out there solo and like face those fears of like not being enough on my own. But I also have so much fun recording in my room because I do everything. So if I want to add bass, I'll add bass. If I want harmonies, I'll add harmonies. If I want to put like a lead part on the uke, like a little lead melody, I do that too. And I kind of like
program
my own
use?
Band. I use a Tascam 8-track.
8-track?
Yep.
You're using an 8-track. You're recording on 8-track, not
Absolutely.
Digital.
Yep.
Whoa. Okay. Now I'm remembering something you told me before in the air we're going to talk about. So you kind of like the analog.
I do. I love it. It is such a cool
device. I didn't know there still were 8-tracks.
Yeah. It's the Tascam Porta Studio. I think the specific model I use isn't... it's not in orbit anymore. They like discontinued it, but it's such a neat little device.
Yeah.
You can do so much with it.
Wow. And so do you have ukulele players you listen to? Any modeling?
Well, I really love Andy Warpigs. He passed away in 2020, but he was another like folk punk ukulele artist. And his sound was just so beautiful, also like so raw, so vulnerable. Also, there's an artist named Loke, formerly I Kill Cameron, who also does the ukulele. But I'm like really inspired by Sean Bonnet of AJJ, and he's a guitar player, but his style is what really informed like my strumming style when I was learning.
So you started your career in Michigan.
Yes.
You were on a tour. I got this from you. And you did a New England tour. And you came to Never Ending Books in New Haven, which is not like a lot of other places you find. That is really what made you move here?
I know. It sounds crazy, but like...
I kind of like it. It sounds good crazy. Like, I wanted to know what this was about.
Like, people have mixed reactions when I tell them about it. And some people are like, so you just moved here for no reason? And I'm like, not at all. Like, I just... When I had never encountered a space like Never Ending Books, ever, like, in my life. And... the fact that something like that could exist here, I was like, okay, what else exists here?
So you were here playing a gig, and what happened at that gig?
The gig was amazing. The turnout was beautiful. I met really cool musicians who were also on the bill. It was like during the fall equinox, and there was like a big like windstorm blowing leaves into the place. It was kind of spooky.
Really into the place?
Yeah, into the place.
That little narrow doorway.
Yeah, because the door was just open.
And when was this? What year?
This was 2021.
Okay, so people were kind of emerging a little bit from the pandemic, a little bit, you know, they're getting out.
Yeah, and it was just, it was my first experience ever like that. And actually my van broke down. So then I was here for 3 days and I didn't finish the tour.
Where were you staying for those 3 days?
I was staying with these musicians who helped me book the show. They also played on the bill, and I just crashed with them for a few days. And they're actually who I live with now, because we ended up fostering a really special friendship.
That's so nice.
And so,
and you said, hey, I'm broken down, I'm going to stay?
Yeah, I was like, my van broke down. They're like, come back to the house. And so while my van was in the shop, we just hung out around New Haven. We went and we busked on the street.
Have fun.
We just got up to shenanigans. I don't know.
And you said, I'm going to make a life decision here and change. So interesting how people make life decisions sometimes.
Well, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, after I went home, I just kept having dreams of being here. Like, I would dream that I was literally like living here. And then I'd wake up and I'd feel empty. And I'm like, whoa. And like, there's such a... like a centralization of like DIY artists and DIY folk artists specifically in the New England area. And everything is so close, in my opinion, like relatively speaking. You know, like in Michigan, we're used to driving like 4 to 6 hours to go to a show. And that's not too bad for us. But here I can drive like 2 hours each way and play in so many different places. So
when did you make the permanent move here?
2022.
All right.
November 2022. I finally just took the plunge, came out here, and everything has come into alignment for me since then. Like, I love it here. I might be a lifer. I don't know. Like,
I hope so. You know, it's interesting when I catch a theme a little bit when I'm hearing in your discussion and your songs is personal bravery, sort of, you know, when you're writing revealing songs in front of people that are vulnerable, that takes a little bit of courage. Sounds like you're trying to screw up courage to become like a performer with the ukulele. Maybe you made that decision. I'm just coming to New Haven because something, you know, special, magical happened when I was here. Is that,
yeah,
is that a theme, sort of like confronting challenging situations and stepping out, putting yourself out there, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I often feel like it's all I can do is just push forward.
So it's not a choice.
Yeah. Like, because what is the other option?
So MJ Bones is here on Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51 on WNHHFM. You want to play us another song?
Absolutely.
Which one is this?
Okay, so this is called Fuss. It's about wanting to get to know somebody. And the song I'll play after it is kind of like the B-side to it when you actually do get to know them. So I'll start with Fuss, though. A room, curtains drawn, your jacket's draped over the television screen. You don't want anyone to hear or see you being vulnerable, chaotic or excitable. You said this is an audition. Is that why you're all nerves? Break a leg, because you're up after this verse. The mystery of you and me, I like your energy, but you say we're on two different wavelengths, and I guess that's true. Nevertheless, I just want to be close to you. A night in the dark, we're meditating, you don't want to talk, but your eyes give you away, cause you are vulnerable, chaotic and excitable. If you could do it over and never leave the ground, honey, the lips, take a sip, try and wash all this down. The mystery of you and me, I love your energy, but you say we're on two different wavelengths, and I guess that's true. Nevertheless, I just want to be close to you. There are things I want to do, and I know you feel it too. You've been watching me, I know you like the view. You like me liking you. Nevertheless, nevertheless, so nevertheless, I just want to be close to you. A room, your curtains drawn, your jacket's draped over the television screen. Don't want anyone to hear or see you being vulnerable, chaotic or excitable. You said this is an audition. Is that why you're all nerves? Break a leg, because you're up after this verse.
You're up after this verse means there's another song coming, right?
Yeah.
MJ Bones, Acoustic Thursdays 251, her song Fuss. Well, it's been so good to chat and get you know a little bit. I want to not leave before we talk about something so interesting you told me about before we came on the air. You're talking about how you like the analog era. You used 8-tracks. I just can't be remembering how when you listen to the 8-tracks, my brother and I was growing up in his car, the song would stop in the middle. I remember Led Zeppelin because you had so many different tracks. You know, you had you're in the middle of like this really loud part, Jimmy Page is wailing away, and they're like, boom, and then you have to like start over, and then it would always break. I don't know about you, the tape would always break. You couldn't fix it. But anyway, you are doing vinyl in a really interesting way.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about that.
So Least of All Recordings, they're this niche little label out of Brooklyn, New York. They specialize in direct-to-vinyl live sessions. So people who order a record choose a song from a list that I've provided, and I record it with a personal message for each person, and it gets pressed into a 7-inch lathe cut record. And they're one of one. So they're like super special collector's items.
So you could order your own MJ Bones record.
Yes. And only until April 22nd. That's how long the campaign is for. And on the 22nd, I go to Brooklyn and I record all of the orders.
That sounds fun. How many you got so far?
I don't know. I don't track that, actually. Like, they track that. So.
And how can our listeners find out if they want a personalized MJ Bones song?
I have info on my Instagram, on my Bandcamp, on my Facebook, on everything. I'm on Instagram at MJ Bones Music, and that's where I'm at on Facebook as well. And I have a link, and it provides like all the information that you need about the record.
All right, we're gonna let you. Gonna ask you to take us out with one more song. I think you want to say thank you so much for inaugurating our live concert series on Air Acoustic Thursday. You sound like you've been up a long time. You're really all in. Anything else you'd like to tell us before you go on to the last song?
Just thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed today.
Sure did. Yeah. And what's the last song, the B-side?
This is called Maybe.
Maybe.
Push my buttons, seems like something you would do. Well, I'm a mystical girl, caught in your world, and clearly I'm lost. Maybe you're taking advantage of my empathy or my naivety, or maybe it's all just a misunderstanding. I'm not perfect. I've committed my crimes, lost sight of myself, well, my eyes on the prize. It would be a lie to try and say there wasn't something in it for me. And in the early morning, I put my clothes back on so I can slip out while you sleep. I'm headed back northeast. Yeah, maybe running from something. Maybe that's what you see when you look at me. You look at me. A room, your curtains drawn, and your jackets draped over the television screen. You don't want anyone to hear or see you being vulnerable, chaotic, or excitable. You said that this is an audition.